Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, March 25th, day 15 of 9/11 on trial. I'm Lisa Giuliani, and this is Wing TV.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We'd like to thank Rachel Mays for her testimony yesterday. She did wonderfully. Mm-hmm. We'd also like to note that tomorrow night, that's Saturday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time, Lisa and myself will appear on the Erskine Overnight Radio Show. We'll be on for 2 hours, and you can find all the information on the Wing TV homepage in the right-hand column under upcoming radio appearances. Also, we have our weekly thumbs up, thumbs down column online. There's a lot of doozies there, folks. A lot of good stuff going on in the world, but likewise, a lot of bad stuff, too. So yes. Check it out. Let us know what you think.
Okay. Today's testimony, we'll hear from witness number 11, Mindy Wido, regarding steel tests and steel building fires. Now let's join the proceedings with Judge Alan Kirkpatrick.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your Honor, today we have witness 11, and she is going to speak about the steel tests and the steel building fires in regard to the World Trade Center collapse. Witness, please state your name for the record.
Mindy Wido.
Okay. For my first question, and I'd like to welcome you today, we've been hearing testimony from previous witnesses in regard to the strength of the World Trade Center towers that refutes the government's version of events. What can you tell us about the strength of steel buildings?
Jerry Russell, PhD, said in proof of a controlled demolition at the World Trade Center, steel frame towers are built very strong. They need to withstand the pressure of gale force winds, the violent rocking motion of earthquakes, and the ravages of time. For this reason, they are almost impossible to destroy.
All right, very good. Can fire bring down a steel frame building?
Never in the history of a steel frame structure has a single one been destroyed by fire.
Okay. Have tests ever been performed to verify your opinion?
In the mid-1990s, British Steel and the Building Research Establishment performed a series of 6 experiments at Cardington to investigate the behavior of steel-framed buildings. These experiments were conducted in a simulated 8-story building. Secondary steel beams were not protected.
And in this experiment, what did they find out?
Well, despite the temperatures of the steel beams reaching 1,500 to 1,700 degrees Fahrenheit in 3 of the tests, well above the traditionally assumed critical temperature of 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit, no collapse was observed in any of the 6 experiments.
Very good. As we've shown in previous testimony, temperatures at the World Trade Center never reached anywhere near the critical point, did they?
No, they didn't.
And in the Cardington tests and in real-life fires, like the one at Broadgate, were the beams sprayed with fire-retardant material?
After the Broadgate Phase 8 fire and the Cardington frame test, there were benchmarks to test composite frame models. Research intensified because almost all the tests had unprotected steel beams.
And what does that mean?
Well, there were no fire-related suspended ceilings and no spray-on fire retardant.
And did the buildings fall even though they weren't protected?
Collapse wasn't seen.
Okay. Have there been any other similar tests on steel structures?
Yes. Corus Construction Company performed extensive tests in multiple countries, which they subjected steel-framed car parks, which were uninsulated, to prolonged hydrocarbon-fueled fires.
Okay. And a hydrocarbon fire is being one that is similar to that which was created by the jet fuel?
Correct.
And what did they find ultimately?
The highest temperature they recorded in any of the steel beams or columns were a mere 680 degrees Fahrenheit.
And I'd like to repeat that, 680 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, how did these temperatures then affect the steel?
At these temperatures, Structural steel loses only 1% of its strength.
Okay. And what about at higher temperatures?
Structural steel at 1022 degrees Fahrenheit still has 60% of the strength of steel at normal temperatures.
All right. Now, in earlier testimony, we learned that many support structures need, by law, to be capable of holding 3 times the maximum weight that should ever be applied to them. For the World Trade Center towers, that ratio was actually 5 to 1. What does that specifically mean?
Well, you see, if a bridge is rated to carry 1 ton, it should be capable of bearing 5 tons without collapse.
Okay, I understand. Now, what do these figures mean in regard to the World Trade Center towers and their maximum load ratios?
Going back to the fire at the World Trade Center, we can see that reducing the steel structure of 60% is rated strength. Its rated strength should not have weakened it to catastrophic collapse.
Why is that?
Because at 60%, it would still hold 3 times the rated load.
All right. Now, how far would the steel have had to have been reduced then?
The steel structure would have had to have been reduced 20% of its rated strength to collapse.
Okay. So even if the temperatures reached 1,022 degrees Fahrenheit, which, by the way, they didn't reach, the towers would have still stood?
Even if the fire had heated the steel to 1,022 degrees Fahrenheit, it would not have been sufficient to cause the towers to collapse.
Okay, Mindy, now you mentioned a moment ago that for a collapse to occur, steel would have had to have been reduced to 20% of its rated strength. What is that exact temperature?
The corpus page on fire versus steel supports show that the steel would have had to have been heated to about 1,320 degrees Fahrenheit to weaken the steel to 20% of its cool strength.
All right. Now, we seem to have two very important temperatures being related to us. Please explain the significance of 1,022 degrees Fahrenheit and 1,320 degrees Fahrenheit.
At 1,022 degrees Fahrenheit, steel loses elasticity and becomes plastic.
Now, for everyday people out there, what does this mean?
Elasticity means that when the steel is bent, it returns to its original shape and springs back. Plasticity means that the steel is permanently deformed. It does not spring back to its original shape.
So 1,320 degrees Fahrenheit, then, is an even more important temperature. Why?
Because at that temperature, it would be weakened to 20% of its original strength.
And at this temperature, the steel would lose enough strength to begin the collapse process?
Correct.
All right, very well. Now, returning to the Corus fire tests, I understand they set a number of automobiles on fire in steel multi-story car parks. What was inside these automobiles?
The park vehicles were loaded with gasoline, diesel, tires, engine oil, engine tar, upholstery, and hydraulic fuel, among other things.
Was there anything else in them?
Any number of cars could contain almost any household item from shopping.
Okay, with that in mind, how would you compare these items to that which was inside the World Trade Center towers on the morning of 9/11?
These materials would be similar to the materials we would expect to see in a burning office at the World Trade Center.
Okay, and what about the fuel that was used in these cars?
Jet fuel, which is refined kerosene, is very similar to the diesel used in some European cars.
And where were these experiments performed?
In England, Japan, Australia, and here in the U.S.
All right. Was the steel used in these car parks, or was the steel used in these car park tests better protected or less protected than that what was in the World Trade Center towers?
Well, none of the steel was protected with the thermal insulation that is commonly used in office buildings, including the World Trade Center.
So then you're saying that the steel in these tests would be inferior?
That would be correct.
And what was the end result of these tests?
The maximum temperature reached in the actual test fires in open-sided car parks in 4 countries was a mere 680 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, again, this figure comes up, 680 degrees. My next question is, how do these relatively low temperatures affect the untreated steel?
The structural steel had sufficient inherent resistance to withstand the effects of any fires that were likely to occur.
And were there any limits on how long these test fires burned?
No. It does not limit the duration of the fire.
Okay. What precisely then do you mean by this?
It does not appear to matter whether the fire burned all week or just for 2 hours. No mention is made, as some people have suggested, from erroneous interpretation of other graphs involving time, that prolonged heat brings about progressive weakening of steel.
So what can we conclude from these tests?
To my mind, this is a definitive answer. The maximum temperature in the unprotected steel supports in those test fires was again a mere 680 degrees Fahrenheit. And that is a long way from the critical threshold in structural steel of 1,022 degrees Fahrenheit.
All right, very well said. Wasn't there more fuel involved in World Trade Center fires, though?
Yes, but there was also much more steel involved. The support columns were much more massive, and they were protected with insulation.
So then, what do these tests ultimately tell us?
Fire did not weaken the World Trade Center structure sufficiently to cause the collapse of the towers.
All right. Let's change our focus for a second. How long have steel buildings been in use?
Steel frame high-rises have been in use for over a century.
For over 100 years. Okay. And to repeat, have any of them ever collapsed due to fire?
No steel frame high-rise has ever collapsed due to fire.
And have any of these structures ever caught on fire during the past 100 years?
Of course.
Okay, that seems pretty obviously. Please give us an example.
In 1991, fires at One Meridian Plaza in Philadelphia burned for 18 hours and gutted 8 floors of the 38-story building.
Well, in your opinion, how would these fires be described?
Absolutely uncontrolled.
Okay. Are there any other examples of steel building fires that you're aware of?
Yes. Back in 1988, the first Interstate Bank building in Los Angeles burned out of control for 3.5 hours, gutting 4 of the tower's 62 floors.
And how would you characterize each of these fires?
Both fires exhibited large emergent flames, extensive window breakage, and blazes filling multiple entire floors.
And what was the end result of each fire?
All the steel columns and beams at One Meridian Plaza remained intact. The building was subsequently refurbished.
And for the first Interstate Bank building in Los Angeles, what happened?
Well, afterward, a company that analyzes the causes and effects of building fires, Icklim Limited, reported in spite of the total burnout of 4.5 floors, there was no damage to the main structural members and only minor damage to one secondary beam and a small number of floor pins.
All right. Please compare these two fires to the World Trade Center towers in regard to the time and ferociousness of the flames.
The fire at One Meridian Plaza was 18 hours in duration, and it was a completely uncontrolled fire.
Okay, how about the first Interstate Bank? How long did that burn?
4.5 hours, and it was also uncontrolled.
Okay, in regard to World Trade Center Tower number 1, the North Tower, the first tower that was hit, how long did that burn?
1 hour and 43 minutes.
And how would you describe the fires in those towers?
They were very minor.
Okay. How about for the South Tower, World Trade Center Building Number 2? How long was the duration of those fires?
Very short. It was only 56 minutes.
And also, how would you describe them?
Minor fires.
Okay. Very well. How would you describe, then, the fires that we talked about earlier in comparison to those at the World Trade Center towers?
The fires in these two skyscrapers were more severe than those in the 3 steel-framed World Trade Center buildings that totally collapsed. These fires were much worse than those in the Twin Towers and Building 7.
Okay, despite their much greater intensity and duration, were the Meridian Interstate steel columns damaged?
Neither fire significantly damaged the vertical steel columns.
And did the One Meridian Plaza building, which raged for 18 hours, did it collapse?
It didn't even come close to bringing down the building.
Okay, likewise, describe the first interstate fire and also tell us if it collapsed.
The first interstate bank fire in Los Angeles showed greater heating effects over larger regions than those observed in either tower, rained broken window glass down on the streets below, and presented a considerable hazard to those on the ground. The first interstate bank did not collapse.
With this in mind, could the fires in either of the World Trade Center towers be described as raging out of control?
Absolutely not.
If they were raging out of control, what would we have seen?
The steel would glow red hot, and there would be extensive window breakage. Bright emergent flames would be visible, and light smoke, not the black smoke that we saw, at least as time progressed, would have been evident.
And if we remember earlier testimony, when the second plane hit the South Tower, the North Tower was already emitting black smoke and few flames after only 16 and a half minutes, and the South Tower was an even smaller fire. Do you find this scenario peculiar?
Well, the fire in the South Tower seems insignificant in comparison to both the Meridian Plaza fire and the fire in the North Tower. How could the tiny fire in the South Tower cause the entire structure to shatter into dust after 56 minutes? While much more extreme fires did not cause the Meridian Plaza building to even crack into two pieces.
And to what do we contribute this lack of collapse in steel buildings?
Fire would have never caused a column failure in any steel structure because steel has a high thermal conductivity, which means you pour heat onto it and it soaks away. The heat conducts very rapidly.
And what does this mean, then, in regard to the World Trade Center towers?
The jet fuel fire did not heat the concrete slabs or the fire-protected steel appreciably. Large columns, such as the core columns, would not heat appreciably, even though they lost their fire protection. Unprotected trusses may have experienced a more sizable temperature increase, but the jet fuel fire was so brief that the concrete steel simply could not absorb the heat fast enough, and consequently most of the heat was lost to the atmosphere through the smoke plume.
And once the jet fuel fire was over, what happened?
After the jet fuel fire was over, burning desks, books, plastics, and carpets contributed to the fire.
Which made this fire become what?
We now have a typical office fire.
Well, would this office fire have made the trusses in those buildings collapse?
The fact that the trusses received some advanced heating will be of little consequence. After some minutes, the fire would have been indistinguishable from a typical office fire, and we know that the truss slab combination would survive such fires because they did so in 1975 in the World Trade Center fire.
Okay, to bring this to a close, how did FEMA weigh in on the uncontrolled 18-hour fire at One Meridian Plaza in 1991?
FEMA's 1991 report described it as such. After the fire, there was evident significant structural damage to horizontal steel members and floor sections of most of the fire-damaged floors. Beams and girders sagged and twisted, some as much as 3 feet, under severe fire exposure, and fissures developed in the reinforced concrete floor assemblies in many places.
All right, Mandy, I'd like to thank you very much for appearing in court today. My final question is, what was FEMA's conclusion about these fires?
Well, FEMA decided that despite this extraordinary exposure, the columns continued to support their load without obvious damage.
Thank you very much. Your Honor, there's no further questions.